This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
What a privilege to be sharing the word this morning. We've had a good rest as a family. We went to a family farm and we opted by choice to not sleep in the house, but we wanted did a bit of an adventure thing with the children, and we camped on the lawn. Since I've been visiting that farm, we've never had that many thunderstorms and rain. But I must say, for the children, the thunderstorms are quite loud when you're in the tent. You know, it's a bit louder. But it was great fun, and we stuck it out, and it was really we didn't opt for the backup option, the 20 meters away. But it was great fun, and they really enjoyed it. Emily is really our two-year-old. She's really turning into a bit of a madam. So if you're welcome to strike up a conversation with her, she chats a lot. And she's got lots of things to say about everything. It's really funny. But the great joy. On the way here this morning, we were discussing, Abigail, our eldest, she was saying, she was asking, what should we make for mommy for her birthday? Adnan's birthday is tomorrow, and we want to make it. And Adnan's obviously sitting in the car, so I'm like, okay, that's great, you know. But I was pleasantly surprised that to hear how much the children have gleaned of what Adnan doesn't like. I said, should we make her some strong coffee? And I said, no. And I had a good laugh about that. But praise the Lord for children to keep us. Just young, amen. this weekend, it's funny how the Lord, I don't know, uses just little silly circumstances to humble us a little bit sometimes. And was it yesterday or the day before? Within a few minutes, I managed to hurt myself, but literally myself, but it's quite ridiculously in simple, like stupid ways. Like, I was busy getting into the car and I managed to almost take off my ear with the car door. Something like that. You can see there's still a mark there. It's quite painful if you're wondering about that. And then a few minutes later, I was tightening a cable tie at head height, but I was tightening, and then it seemed that there was a weak spot in the cable tie and it broke. So I punched myself in the face with this so hard that Abby was really concerned. You know, I was like, "Are you okay, Daddy?" I'm like, "Oh, it's it. Be with you in a moment," type of thing. You know, it's just my eyes are just watering from the dust. You know, in any case, I'm still with us. Praise the Lord, and didn't make it into the Darwin Awards, but hallelujah. Let's get into the Word. I'm going to start with the Psalm of David, Psalm 42. Let's look at verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Now, sometimes people get concerned when you hear people talking to themselves. Some people think it's not a good thing. I saw this bumper sticker once that said, "You're just jealous because the voices are talking to me." Now, I'm not talking about that, right? I'm talking about David recognizing something in his own soul, recognizing something that is going on in his heart, and he's talking to himself. He's coming from a spirit man. Spirit, our spirit, we are made out of three parts, you know, we are spirit, soul, and body. And he, out of his spirit man, our being is formed, and that's what is eternal is our spirit man, and he's speaking to his soul, which is seemingly not doing so well. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" And then he commands his soul. He says, "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." So he's going through some rough things. He's experiencing a lot of things, and he's commanding his soul. Say, "Listen up, hope in God. Why are you discouraged? Why are you disquieted? Why are you depressed?" commands, he speaks. He speaks to his soul. He says, hope in God. And I want to look at a little bit at that concept this morning, us putting our hope in God. And what is it? What is a biblical definition of hope? And I made the title, get your hopes up, right? So how often do we say the opposite? How often, you know, it's a saying, right? We, you know, there's a couple of things that we say because it's a saying. Have you heard of the saying, it's on the cards? No, we say that a lot, don't we? Yeah, but it's not on the cards. Stop the thing. Or yes, it's definitely on the cards. But do you know where that comes from? Isn't it tarot cards? Isn't it like those cards that people use to predict the future? Anyway, so I just chuckle. I don't say anything, but I just chuckle when I hear Christians say that, because I've also said it. But it actually is super dodgy, because surely we're not bothered about what it says on the cards, right? Okay, I'm just throwing that out there. But another thing that we say is you know, this and this and this has happened, or this we kind of, this might be a good thing, but don't get your hopes up. Don't we say that a lot? Don't get your hopes up. You know, let's just be real, yeah. Let's just be realistic, and let's not put ourselves in a position where we might be disappointed. Don't get your hopes up. This morning, I want to say, get your hopes up, okay? And I'll tell you why. But let's so at the beginning of this year, you know, there's often, I don't know what, you know, there's often things that affect how we enter the new year. So I don't know what your 2017 was like. Maybe you're sitting here and you're so glad it's a new year because it was the worst year. You know, maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, yo, it would have been nice if it could have continued a bit because it was such a great year. It's funny how the 31st of December is like, it's over. You know, now somebody decided once that that's the calendar, and now we all was, oh, that's how our lives are organized. Okay, so. So I'm not sure, I don't know what everybody's year was like, but often stuff that happens to us, things that we experience, make it difficult for us to hope, make it hard for us to put our hope, to have hope. And we had an amazing time with the pastors and staff of the Shofar North region the last few days of this week, and wow, just such amazing time. We have such quality people on our team here in the north. We're really blessed, and thanks so much for your prayers. We're really expectant of this year, and we had such a good time together. And but I had a conversation with a friend of mine recently, and he was saying that a lot of stuff has happened, and a lot of things have caused him to, at this point in the year, to really be at a place where he's struggling to hope. He's experienced a lot of disappointment. You know, he's trusted for things and he's hoped for things and he's been disappointed. And he's been disillusioned, if you can use that word. And there's a bit of anxiety maybe, but he's really finding it difficult to hope. Maybe you find yourself in that position to a certain extent this morning. Maybe even some things like fear have a way of making it difficult for us to hope again. Things like anxieties that plague us, stress, have an impact, you know. And specifically, like I mentioned to this friend of mine, specifically past disappointments. Maybe you prayed for something, maybe you've hoped for something and it didn't happen. So I want to start with that question. You know, how do we work through that, and how do we make a comeback from that point? And actually something that we discussed with my friend and we prayed through was found in Romans 5. So Josh, can we jump a few scriptures? Sorry. Mess this all up. If we go to the Romans 5, please. There we go. So we We spoke about the first scripture there, which is verse 5. And it says that, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." And he was saying that he can't relate to this because he's gone through so much stuff that he's finding it difficult to hope. And he's experienced disappointments. And then somebody reminded us of the first four scriptures, the first four verses of that chapter. And it says there from verse 1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." And then it says, "Now hope does not disappoint." And I had a moment there with my friend, and I said, "Wow, this is it." Because in the midst of tribulation and perseverance, and perseverance being formed in us and character being formed in us, it's not nice. Don't you agree? It's a place where we think, "Wow, it's difficult for me to hope now." But it's just what Paul's writing to the Romans here is he's saying, these things are the things that forge in us an ability to put our hope in God. When we push through the tribulations, when we allow the Holy Spirit to produce through those tribulations, to produce perseverance in us, when we allow Him to produce and to shape character in us, then there's a place where that hope can be formed in us. Isn't that powerful to get our heads around that? You say, yes, we've had tough things. Yes, we've been through rough things. Maybe 2017, like I said, was, you know, up there at, or down there at the kind of at one of the rough ones for you. It certainly was for us in many ways. But going through these tribulations, these trials, these challenges, it's so important for us to remain yielded to the Holy Spirit. Not allowing our hearts to be hardened. Isn't that easy to happen? A cynicism to come in? Hardness of heart to creep in? I felt when I was praying before, and I felt there's somebody here this morning that has made a conscious decision to protect your heart and not hope again. And I want to pray for someone like that at the end, but we do that sometimes not even consciously, but somewhere we've been hurt or we've experienced disappointment, and instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to forge that character and perseverance in us, we harden our heart and we say, "Oh, well, I won't go there again because I don't want to be disappointed. I don't want to be hurt tonight." So, and rather than be disappointed, and that's what my friend was wrestling with, he's saying, I don't want to hope again because I don't want to be hurt and I don't want to be disappointed. We were able to pray through that. And what I did mention to him is I said to him, but isn't it important for us to distinguish between a godly, biblical hope and an expectation that we have in our hearts? I've seen that in my life. If I have maybe a hope, but then out of that hope comes an expectation for something to happen like A, B, C, D, like it's in this way. And when things don't happen A, B, C, D, don't we tend to get discouraged and disappointed? And we struggle to see the bigger picture. We say, "Well, actually," and this has happened to me a few times, you know, A, B, C, D didn't happen. It happened in different ways. And I'm like, "Oh," struggling, wrestling with disappointment. And then, but if you look back and maybe some time has passed, and you look back and you realize, "Wow, God is good. Look at how all that stuff has worked together. Look at how all that crazy, all those crazy things that have come across my path, how they've worked together, how God has made them work together for His purpose in my life. And His goodness remains." And we were able to wrestle through that and pray through that. But I want to encourage you, if you're sitting here and you've reason to be disappointed, you've reason to be discouraged, and I want to trust with you this morning to have grace to open your heart to say, "Lord, let your kingdom come. in my heart, in my life, in this time of tribulation, of trial, or challenge, or whatever it is that you're wrestling through. May perseverance be formed. May I grow in perseverance. And may a godly character be shaped and formed in me so that I can really grow in the biblical hope. Now, what does that mean? What is a biblical hope? We normally, everyday life, talk about hope. Isn't it true that we talk about uncertainty? I could say, I really hope it's going to rain this evening. And we say stuff like that. Well, I hope the... Hey, guys, did you notice the Springboks are undefeated this year? Okay. Still undefeated, hanging in there. I know they haven't played this year, but can't accuse me of being pessimistic. Anyway, so we say, I hope the Springboks are going to win some games this year, but it's not certain. Nobody knows. I hope it's going to rain, but you know, we use the word in expressing an uncertainty. We use the word in expressing something that we're not sure about. It can go either way, you know, don't get your hopes up type of scenario. It could go that way, you know, the weather guys could have it right and it might rain, but we don't know. We're hoping. Okay, are you with me? We often use it like that. But biblical hope is not like that. Biblical hope is different. And it's important for us to recognize that biblical hope expresses a confident expectation and desire of something good in the future. Confident expectation or desire of something good, for something good in the future. And the key thing here is that a biblical hope is not based on past experience, it's not based on any track record, it's not based on any circumstantial evidence around us, but it's based on the character of God and His goodness. Biblical hope is not cross your fingers, you know, let's just cross our fingers. It's not that. Biblical hope is I'm expecting great things from God. You see the difference there? There's a surety in it. The hope that I have in the character of Christ is based on the cross. It's based on the love of God demonstrated through His Son. It's not up there in the air. It's not an uncertainty. It's a certain thing, an expectation based on who God is. Are you with me this morning? So it's not just a hope, maybe this way, that way. In fact, there was a point where you send WhatsApps to people or SMSs, and there was a time where I used to say, instead of saying, I hope you're well, because of the way we use that word, I used to change and deliberately think, no, let me change that. I trust that you're well. In other words, I'm not just throwing it up in the air. My trust is in God that you're well. But if you're looking at the biblical one, it means that confident expectation or desire for something good in the future. I was so blessed with the words that came through. The Lord's obviously confused. But Rita was saying that the enemy tries to convince us that God is not good. The enemy will do his level best at any given opportunity to try and get you and I to question the goodness of God in our lives. We see it all over Scripture. We see how the moment God does something, how the enemy tries to question exactly that. We see it in the life of Christ where Jesus gets baptized and God opens the heavens and He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the Holy Spirit comes upon Christ and He's ready. He's almost ready to go into ministry. But what happens then is He gets led into the wilderness, and what does the enemy tempt Him on? He says, on exactly that thing that God said to him right just before. In other words, he's saying, is that thing that God said, is it really true? You know, can you really trust Him? Is He really good? Because every time He said to him, listen, if you are the Son of God, and then He tests him, tempts him. And then the next time again, if you are the Son of God. In other words, question that very thing. And in that questioning the character of God, questioning the inherent goodness and character of God. So you will try that, guys, in our lives. The beginning of this year, watch out for that thing, you know, where you want to say, oh, I'm going to trust God for this, or I'm putting down some faith goals. I feel God is putting this on my heart to trust Him for X, Y, Z, or my one of the things that God's been challenging us as a family with at the beginning of this year is how are we deliberately going to be reaching out to our immediate neighbors? So we want to, you know, we want to put some goals out there. Say, okay, we want to try and pray. I was thinking, should we pray for a different family every evening? How should we go about it? You know, but as you're putting out those faith goals, don't allow that voice of doubt to come in. Don't allow that thing that reminds you, but listen, look at how pear-shaped it went last time. You tried to reach out to a neighbor or something like that, or that last time that you hoped, or that last time that you really trusted God for something. Look at how things went wrong, or just trying to remind you of stuff like that. You will question the goodness of God. And you will try and get us to doubt the character of God. Are you with me this morning? So be alert, be aware, and be on the lookout for that, for those thoughts that want to come in. Let's read from Romans 15. Thanks. Okay. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Guys, if you're in a place where you're struggling to put your hope in God, or you're struggling to get your hopes up, trust in the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us. Amen? To enable us to, yes, to say, yes, you know what, we've had some tribulations, and yes, there's been some disappointments, but God has not changed. He has remained the same. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to abound in hope, in a biblical hope. We're able to have hope that is overflowing. Ephesians speaks of a hope being an anchor for the soul. I've mentioned the scripture a lot because it really speaks to me. Because the soul is up and down, like David realized, yo, this soul of mine is not stable. So that's why he says to command his soul. That's why he has to speak to his soul. He recognizes that his emotions are not always reliable. One day they're up there, one day, next day they're down there. The soul is not very reliable, not very constant thing, right? Because that's where the emotions are. And then he says, the hope that we have in Christ is an anchor for the soul. And we sang about that early on. That anchor that is there through the storm. Our hope in God, the biblical hope that we have, anchors the soul. When the soul wants to go ballistic, you speak to the soul and say, whoa, 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 just calm down. Why are you freaking out in me? Hope in God. Get your hopes up. God is for us. There's a song that Josh Baldwin is his name, wrote about. The song's name is Get Your Hopes Up. Go and YouTube it. It's great. And then Joyce Meyer wrote a book with the title as well. So it's seemingly I'm not the first one that's preaching about this. But the reason why we can get our hopes up is not because of the economy that's looking great, or stuff around us that's looking better, or maybe the new job that I'm looking forward to, or my marks that I got, or my results or my studies, or my fitness tracker that's telling me good things or not so good things. I'm not basing my hope on that stuff. Hope is in Christ. My hope is in the finished work of the cross. My hope is in the character of God, the goodness of God that remains the same. His goodness and mercy will follow us. He He's demonstrated His goodness and His love in the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't just hope that we would just all catch on. He sent His Son to this planet in the shape of a man. And He said, let me demonstrate how I feel about you. And let me send my Son in the flesh to show you in the flesh, this is how much I love you. That's full on. That's not halfway. Demonstrated His goodness and demonstrated His love toward us. In terms of us as believers walking by faith, this is an integral part of our faith journey. In many ways, Philip was chatting to us about this on the week to the pastors. In many ways, hope is precedes faith. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's kind of trying to describe how faith works. It says that it's the substance. It's a step further from hoping. So biblical hope precedes faith. So there's such an important place where you and I need to sit down and say, listen, God, I put my hope in you. Maybe it's not at the point of faith yet. Maybe I don't have a conviction yet, but my hope is wholeheartedly in you about this thing or my life or whatever, my job or my family. My hope is nowhere else. My hope is not in the economy. My hope is not in the government. We pray for them and we love our government and we support them where we can, our leaders, and whether it be in the workplace or in the government. But that's not where my hope is. Amen? So there's such an important element of our faith to verbalize the fact that you and I put our faith, our hope, which precedes faith in God. Are you with me this morning? And while we're on that, I want to challenge us that in the beginning of this year, maybe it's a healthy time or good time just to remind ourselves of what is in my mouth? What is in my speech? Am I speaking life? Am I declaring the goodness of God, or am I allowing the cynicism and stuff from the world to kind of creep in there? What is my, and sometimes you know where the scripture says that what's the heart is full of, you know, that comes out of the mouth. In other words, what's in our speech is a reflection of what's going in our heart. Good time now to say, what is in there? Is there some cynicism? Is there some hardness of heart? Am I expecting? Am I expecting great things from a good God? Taste and see that He's good. Last year, guys, to be honest, it was tough for my family. Most of you know my dad passed away. He went through a really, really tough illness, and it's still one of the most difficult things I've had to go through, to stand there, to see how a big, healthy man can disappear. And that was rough, to be honest. It was tough. Many, many ways it was a tough year for us. But I can with absolute confidence stand here this morning and say that I'm more convinced of the goodness and the mercy of God than I've ever been before. And I'm as convicted of His goodness, and I'm as convinced of His grace that abounds. He's not changed. Amen. And even through the trial, even through that stuff that we had to work through, His goodness was there. Grace was there in abundance. Sometimes, you know, I had to speak to my soul, yes. I had to do that. I had to recognize that, you know what, even in this dark valley, that the peace of God is still with us. And even through this difficult time, His goodness and His grace abounds. And I want to encourage you, if you've had a rough season, or you've had some in the past, I trust His grace this morning to allow God to bring some healing if there's a hardness of heart that's coming. Amen? If there's a cynicism that's crept in. I'm trusting for God to, for grace this morning to expect great things from Him. Not to think, I'm going to just cross my fingers, but to go into this year expecting great things from a great God, from a good God. Are you with me this morning? I want to close with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Therefore, I also have, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. There's a couple of prayers in the New Testament that I reckon you can pray over yourself every day. Excuse me for a moment. A couple of things like David preaching at himself, you know, hoping God. But there's a couple of prayers there that are just amazing. One of these is Paul praying for the Ephesians. He says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? Isn't that something that we want to know? And know that in a knowing, not in a hoping way, but a knowing in a hope in terms of faith way that I have a conviction of these things. I reckon this is a good habit to pray this over yourself, over your family. Eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance, and the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. That's my prayer for us this year, that we may have a conviction of that, the fullness of that. And tying that into what we've been talking about, the hope of His calling, the hope of the reality that He has called us, that each of us here this morning, no accidents here. There's no one here that's here this morning that as you came in, God was like, what? How did you get here? He said, I wasn't expecting you to be here this morning. It doesn't happen. He's gone before us. Even through the difficult valleys, even through the low times, even through the dark valleys, He's gone before us. You know, when David writes the about the shepherd, he says, you even in the valley of the shadow of death, even there, you comfort me, you guide me. Even in the worst times, our confidence is in our shepherd who's, if I find myself in a valley of death, I don't have to doubt the shepherd. I can be confident, yes, we have been at green pastures and still waters. Now I'm in a valley of death. You know what the only thing that means? It doesn't say anything about the shepherd. It just says we are on the way to another piece of green pasture and quiet waters. Amen? Because my shepherd is good and faithful. And the only reason I'm going through this valley is because I'm on my way to another place of green pasture and still water. Are you with me this morning? We can have a confident hope in our shepherd. And this is my prayer, that we would know what is this hope of His calling. His calling, that is, He's called you to Pretoria, and He's called you to your workplace, and He's called you to your family, and He's called you to the place where you're living for a purpose. There are people around you, and there are people around us, and wherever we go, and that's a part of the calling that He's called us with. My prayer is that you would, you and I would grow in our revelation of that calling and our understanding of it. so we can walk in the fullness of the good work that He has prepared for us. Amen. As Philip was preaching about last week, such an encouraging, such an inspiring message. If you missed it, please download it. He has prepared us. Amen. Let's stand this morning and pray. Actually, I'd love for the band to come up and we can do that last song again. It would be awesome. There's a couple of things that I've had in my heart while praying. One of them is that some of us here that are, like I mentioned before, that are finding it difficult at the beginning of this new year to hope. Finding it difficult to be positive and optimistic and to look to God in hope. And then there's some that I felt God is saying, there's some that are not negative, but you are putting your hope in other things. Maybe you're not depressed this morning, you say, oh, this is not for me really. It's not only for depressed people. Maybe you're just not discouraged. Maybe you're not really feeling good about the year, feeling optimistic. You're feeling, yes, we're going to do this. But I felt the Holy Spirit saying there's some here that are feeling that way or that are going into this year, but they're putting their trust in maybe their own skill or their own ability. Maybe in the having a peace about their career or their family situation. Maybe a place where you have a confidence that this job that you have now is really giving you a sense of stability. And I just felt the Holy Spirit challenging us that as difficult as it is to not have hope, putting your hope in the wrong place is not great. He's giving us grace this morning to say, whether I'm coming from a place of cynicism and disappointment and hurt and or whether I'm coming from a place of putting hope in wrong things and different things. This morning, there's a grace for us to just repent of our heart's condition. And just say, Lord, I choose this morning. I choose to hope in You alone. I choose to put my trust in You. I choose to look to the cross. I choose to look to the finished work of the cross. I choose to say, I expect great things from a great God. The other thing that I felt is that there's somebody here this morning that this year started with a massive disappointment. It started with a huge blow. And I felt the Lord saying there's a choice that you can make this morning. You can either allow that your experience, and for some of us it's the last year maybe, your experience to determine your direction. Or you can allow the character of God to determine your direction. In other words, are you going to allow the disappointment of this beginning of this year or maybe in the past to steer you? Or are you and I going to choose to put our trust in a good God? Let's close our eyes. I'm going to pray. I want us to pray briefly and then I want us to sing this song I want to pray and I'm going to close. And I want us, if you're able to stay for 2 or 3 minutes to worship the song with us, just and to proclaim it over our lives. Amen. And then we're going to have time for prayer a bit later. But if you need to rush, you're welcome to leave as I just close now. Father, we thank You for Your presence in this place, Lord. We thank You that at the beginning of this year, we can come with open hearts to You, Lord. Can come with expecting You to receive us. We can come expecting You to forgive us, Lord. We can come expecting You to be gracious toward us, expecting to receive Your love, and because You've demonstrated all these things so powerfully on the cross. So this morning we draw near to You, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that You would meet each one of us here where we're at right now, whether we're those that are coming from a place of discouragement and fear and anxiety, maybe a place of cynicism, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we repent that we've allowed these things to creep into our hearts. We repent of hardness of heart in the name of Jesus. We choose to look to you, Lord. God, if we've been coming from a place of looking to other things, Lord, putting our hope in our own skill and our own situation, maybe a job or a relationship, putting our trust or finding our stability, finding our peace and our confidence in something other than you, God, we repent in the name of Jesus. And we choose this morning to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We choose to look to you, Lord. We choose to decide, Lord, that heaven and earth may pass away around us, but Lord, your word will not pass away. We choose to believe, Lord, that your goodness will remain. You do not change. And we choose to declare over our souls to hope in God and expect great things from him in this year because he is a good God. Lord, you are a good God. You are gracious and merciful. We look to you. Lord, as we worship, as we sing the song, Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts as we proclaim this truth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you need to go, you're welcome to, but if you have a minute or two, let's just sing the song together. I want to proclaim it over our lives. Amen. Thanks. We're going to be praying for people after. Sorry. Sorry, if you need prayer, if you want to just agree about this word, please join us in the front afterwards. Amen. Thanks. Sorry about that.
Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.